Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to All Access Closed. My guest today is Steve Greenfield. And Steve is here to talk about Joe Biden and the latest Trump scandal with the impeachment. Now, I read today, by the way, how are you, Steve?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Happy birthday. Yes. Belated birthday.
Thank you. Yes, I did. I went to, you know, as anybody who knows me would expect, you know, Terry and I went out to enjoy some live music for the night. A bunch of my old friends dating back to college and my earliest bands all came out, and it was very, very enjoyable, as has been the weather all week. So this is great.
Right. I saw something today on the internet which was very interesting. I tuned into a little bit of Fox News last night. I tuned into CNN and MSNBC. And I saw something on the internet which was very interesting. And it was a tweet by Ari Fleischer. And he said, Hunter took the position with a Ukrainian gas company, natural gas company, just a few weeks after his father visited Ukraine in 2014 to urge its government to increase its natural gas production. Hunter Biden had no experience in Ukraine or natural gas. So the bottom line is Joe Biden contacted Ukraine to increase fracking. Is that a correct assumption?
Well, it's one of the many things he contacted them about, you know, and that was his job, was to contact them about that, because, you know, as Obama's appointed point person on diplomatic relations with Ukraine and with Ukraine in need of economic development, that we were trying to encourage to keep the anti-Putin government, kind of ethno-nationalist and neo-Nazi type government we had just helped put into power over there. And they needed to stabilize Ukraine and have economic development. And that is, you know, a principal commodity that comes out of the ground in Ukraine. And so just as Obama and Biden were also encouraging fracking and the increase of oil production in the United States, which Obama himself spoke openly about last year, you know, at an institute at Rice University, that during his tenure as president, that we became the world's largest fossil fuel producing country and that he wanted to be acknowledged for that. OK, so you have to bear in mind that the Biden wing of the Democratic Party, the Obama wing, the corporate wing, is a fossil fuel promoting wing. It's not just war that it promotes and not just banking interests. It promotes fossil fuel. This is the inherent contradiction of our times, that liberals are you know, actively seeking the opportunity to vote for candidates that are for reductions in production and use of fossil fuel. And the Democratic Party continues to offer them only candidates that favor the increase in production of fossil fuel. I want to go a little bit further into this Biden Ukraine business. Now, Hunter Biden, you know, he never held a job besides being a lobbyist. He had been in the military and he got kicked out of the military for testing positive for cocaine, you know, and he had no career ever beyond that. Other than being able to sell access to his father and his father's friends by partnering with a childhood friend that was practically a nephew to Joe Biden. And then the two of them opened up a lobbying firm, you know, that had nothing, literally nothing to offer its clients, other than the closeness of its two principal officers, to Joe Biden. And so that was the nature of his career. And yes, we did install a neo-Nazi government in Ukraine. They're not the current government. That government was fortunately over a couple of election cycles partially voted out of power. And that's not what the current prime minister is about. But that was the government that we installed in order to continue bolstering our anti-Russia forces that we'd been moving, you know, eastward across the former Soviet bloc, adding countries to NATO and to other economic alliances with the West, getting ever closer to the original border of Russia itself. And so, you know, Biden went over there basically to assist them in directing themselves towards rapid economic development, so that they could be, so they would be able to finance their anti-Putin, stature at that point that they had achieved when they voted out the pro-Russian government that had preceded them. And so, you know, yes, Hunter Biden, never been to Ukraine, doesn't speak Ukrainian, doesn't know anybody who speaks Ukrainian, never, you know, forget about whether he had any professional experience in the gas industry. He didn't have any academic experience. He didn't go to college for that. And so there's not any way to deny that the hiring of Hunter Biden by this gas company, by the gas oligarchy of Ukraine, was anything other than influence peddling, right? They were hiring the son of the person that was carrying the responsibility for the Obama administration of being in charge of Ukrainian policy of the United States. I mean, what do you call that? Mm-hmm. What would you call that other than exactly what it is, without fearing that you're making a complete jackass of yourself, right? I mean, come on, let's be honest about anybody. Some of them are just, you know, shrugging and going, well, it wasn't illegal, you know, which is hardly the point, right? I mean, you know, PAC money, dark money to PACs is not illegal, but liberals all supposedly oppose it. If something's, you know, and don't want it tainting elections, to just shrug and go, well, it wasn't against the law for him to do that. That's not the excuse. That's the problem. It should be against the law. And if it's not against the law, then it's incumbent upon us as voters to elect people that aren't tainted by that, that aren't tainted by influence peddling. And so that's kind of what brings it to where it is today. I'm not personally, going with helping to market the idea that the later thing that Joe Biden did, where he threatened to withhold $1 billion worth of anti-tank missiles unless the Ukrainians at that moment fired a prosecutor they had. Yes, he did that, but it's not really the way that the right wingers are currently trying to spin that. The investigator in question, while technically involved in investigating that company that Hunter Biden had just been hired for, was actually sort of, he was engaged more of a denial of evidence to British sources and other international investigatory bodies that were trying to investigate corruption at that company. And so, you know, in the most literal sense, Biden was not arguing on behalf of the company or his son per se when he did that. He was more seeking to punish the former prosecutor for actually being a shoddy prosecutor and not cooperating with our allies in Britain in getting to the bottom of the corruption. And what that kind of investigation is really all about is for Western companies that are involved in the international gas market to try to keep the playing field level for their own corporations. You know, like, nobody's doing this for altruistic reasons. Nobody was, the British were not investigating the Ukrainian company because they just couldn't bear the idea of there being a corrupt company somewhere in the world. You know, they were investigating it for the interests of their own fossil fuel industry, right? And that's what we were defending when Biden went over and did that. But still, nonetheless, yes, he did instigate on behalf of Obama a major increase in their gas production, and he did facilitate that with American aid. He you know, did not say to his son, you know, the legality of this notwithstanding, you know, for the future ambitions of our family, this is really just not a good look, and you're not hurting for money, so maybe this isn't a good appointment for you to take. In fact, he defended his son. He did nothing but defend his son when the 2014 and 2015 stories in the New York Times and elsewhere came out about the situation. And so he just doubled down and was saying that this is just great. So that's where things stand right now. As far as, you know, Joe Biden, you know, to put give some context for Joe and Hunter and this Ukrainian gas company, and a part that's not being mentioned, which I really don't know why it's not being mentioned. I've written about it, you know, several times already. And this is certainly going to come out if the Democrats keep pushing this impeachment on this one issue instead of all the other issues that were available to them for the whole, you know, year and 9 months that Trump is president. The company in question, one of the things that's problematic about the company in question is that it backed the candidates that were being supported by Paul Manafort over there. Paul Manafort right now is in jail for not declaring the income. He is in prison for not having declared the income he received from this very same gas company. You know, this was part of the whole Russiagate, right? They nailed Paul Manafort on a kind of an unrelated issue. But now they're actually turning what they did to Paul Manafort into a related issue because the income that he didn't report, which is why he's in prison right now, came from the same financial sources as the people who hired Hunter Biden once Obama had appointed Joe Biden to be his point person to Ukraine. So that's going to be... You know, how long do you think it's going to take before, you know, the Republican Party like adds that to its talking points about, you know, what the Democrats are actually doing now and what their real motives are? You know, I was telling people going all the way back into the Russiagate, like you got to turn off Rachel Maddow. This is creating really big problems. And I wrote immediately when Manafort was convicted, one of the first things I wrote on my Facebook page was, this is going to be a problem for the Bidens. That, you know, they're in bed with the same people that Manafort was in bed with. And the only difference that has Manafort in prison is that, like, he neglected to declare the income on his taxes, you know, and tried to conceal it. But as far as being in bed and taking huge payments from the Ukrainian gas oligarchs, you know, the Bidens and the Manaforts, and of course the Manafort went on to be a top advisor to Trump campaigning. That's what I keep telling people, is that all the people that are at the top of the game are all on the same team. It doesn't really matter if some of them are, like, you know, friendly to the LGBTQ community and the other ones aren't. Like, that's just how they divide up the voter pool, because they know that large numbers of people are you know, feel personally vested in that particular issue. But as far as their day-to-day operations, it doesn't matter which one of them you elect, because the oil, the gas oligarchs in Ukraine are going to win, whether it's through Hunter Biden or whether it's through, you know, and Joe, or whether it's through Paul Manafort and Trump. You know, you're voting for candidates supplied to you not only by people with shared interests, but as you can see in this case, by even the exact same people. It's the same gas company, you know, supported Hunter Biden and supported Paul Manafort. So where does that leave the rest of us?
My question to you is, well, maybe it's a statement. If you put on MSNBC and they talk about, you know, the phone call that Trump made to, you know, to Eastern Europe, and it was like a veiled threat. Okay, and nobody's given the background of that veiled threat. The people on MSNBC, they know exactly the players and what happened, right? But they're not telling the people to enlighten them as to what truly is going on, right?
Well, of course not, because their purpose right now is not to say, you know, Hunter Biden, Paul Manafort, what's the difference? That's not their purpose. Their purpose is to create the impression that there is a substantial difference and that the difference is incredibly important to ordinary people. That's why they're there. That's what they get paid to do. And so, you know, that's why it's very, very important right now to put the timing of this impeachment. I don't want to create the wrong impression here. Okay. What Trump did is an impeachable offense. Okay, but it's only like the 18th impeachable offense that he committed, and the Democrats have been refusing to act on the other 17, and then suddenly this one has become like the alpha and omega, the end of the world. Oh my God, now he's really done something terrible, as if locking up children in cages as a way to force the Democrats in the Senate to vote for his immigration legislation. You know, that wasn't really all that terrible, but trying to harm Joe Biden, that's really terrible. So what is that? That has to really tell you something about the Democratic Party as it really is, as opposed to the way that it's propagandist package and sell it back to the rest of us. They didn't think that kidnapping children, separating them from their parents, putting them in cages, and in some cases, in 8 instances, having them die while they were locked up, with Trump expressing openly in front of microphones that he'll be happy to make that stop as soon as Chuck Schumer authorizes the Democrats in the Senate to approve his immigration changes that he wanted to make to our immigration policy. You know, that they were willing to look the other way from, right? That wasn't a big deal. But going after Joe Biden, that's a very, very big deal, right? And so I don't want, like I said, not – what's that? Yeah.
I've got two questions. In 1988, the Democratic Party could not get Joe Biden out of the race. As you know, they wanted him out immediately. And what happened? What did Joe Biden do to ingratiate himself to the powers that be that they now love him?
He was the vice president to Barack Obama for 8 years. That's it. That's the entire difference. And they still feel, I guess, looking back at, you know, Barack Obama's vote totals, that that association is very healthy for attracting votes, because Barack Obama is the record holder for vote getting. Right. I mean, that's as far as they're looking on this issue. And you can tell by the way they're campaigning, you know, that, you know, Biden stands, you know, right there and says, you know, about Elizabeth Warren on the debate stage, well, she's with stands with Bernie Sanders, and I'm with Barack Obama. Like his whole campaign, in another way of the, like, Rudy Giuliani's old 9/11 campaign system, is that, you know, he uses a noun and a verb and Barack Obama in every sentence he issues. So that's what changed. But here's the problem for the Democrats right now, and why they're going overboard in looking at this. They used to have about, you know, 20 candidates, and all the ones that were going to be the ones that had the same kind of politics as Joe Biden announced kind of early, you know, ahead of Biden. And that was done on purpose, right? Because they were building momentum for Biden's official announcement. He kept teasing and teasing and teasing and teasing and teasing and teasing. And finally he announced. And so what was being presented to the public was Joe Biden as a front runner. And then they had a bunch of people, you know, on the bench, so that, you know, if anything happened to Biden, and I don't just mean anything politically. I mean, he's elderly. What if he had a heart attack and died, right? So they had this, you know, this beautifully staged, you know, they had a right-wing candidate from, you know, from the governors or senators from about, you know, 11 different states, right? To be favorite sons and daughters. A couple of them are still in the race, but most of them have dropped out. And the other ones that remain, you know, are polling down at about 1-2%. You know, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, they're polling far below what you would even call a third tier candidacy at this point. And so with Bernie and Elizabeth Warren running neck and neck in the polls, and basically neck and neck with Biden as well, is they're in a situation where only about 30% of the primary voters appear to be inclined favorably towards Biden. They no longer have any backup candidates. to forget whether anything happens to him. Even what we're seeing at this point is that he's just losing voter momentum. The initial excitement and splash of like, oh, Uncle Joe is going to run has gradually worn away as people are becoming aware that he doesn't have any policies and that he's offensive to minorities and he's offensive to women. And he seems to be a little bit sliding into senility and doesn't seem to know what he's talking about. And so the luster has worn off the excitement of his announcement. But unfortunately for the Democratic National Committee, they no longer have any of the backup candidates on the bench that they were expecting would step up into his place if that were to happen. And so now they're left with Biden and only Biden. And so this is about bolstering Biden, and you know it's the only tool that they still have in their toolbox to bolster Biden. And you know, it's a terrible thing because they're trying to bolster somebody who is as tainted by foreign influence, you know, through his son's position at this gas company. He is as tainted by the perception of foreign countries having a stake in the outcome of this election as the Democrats wanted us to believe that was the case with Trump, you know, in 2016. And so, you know, they're going to investigate this. Now, the problem they're having with this, what appears to be a slam dunk, is that the people who have been, you know, champing at the bit for an indictment and a charge that would be an impeachable offense are currently falling for the messaging they're getting from the prosecution, right, from the Democrats. And they're completely overlooking that if he gets articles of impeachment voted against him and he goes to trial, he's going to have a defense. And so what you really need to be looking at right now before assuming that this is a slam dunk is you have to be looking at what the defense is going to say, because the standard is like guilt beyond any reasonable doubt, right? You're talking about removing a president, which has never happened in all of United States history, has not happened, only been attempted 3 times, didn't happen all 3 times. And so you have to look at what the likelihood of his defense is going to be. And we already know that because it's the same defense he used when he was accused of campaign finance violations for paying off the women that he had slept with, shortly before the end of the campaign. His defense against that was that he said it wasn't about voters, it was about protecting his wife from finding out, that he was protecting his family, his wife and his children. And the standard under the law was that you had to be able to prove that this thing was exclusively for electoral purposes in order to be able to prove that it was a campaign finance violation. And so, you know, he's going to have a defense on this too. And his defense is going to be that he was not acting on behalf of himself, but on behalf of the interests of the nation, because he had reason to believe that Joe Biden had corrupt dealings with Ukraine and a Ukrainian gas monopoly, and that the American people were potentially about to elect somebody that was directly involved in corruption with a foreign government, foreign government. He's going to be able to float on that defense, because nobody's going to be able to prove that that's not what he was trying to do.
Okay,
is such a bad, you know, you need a choir boy to wage this kind of attack, and Biden is not that. Biden is dirty up to his ears in Ukraine, and that is going to become Trump's defense, and he is not going to be removed from office.
Okay, let me ask you this. What you just said, okay, would they say that on MSNBC?
No, of course not.
Okay.
Of course not, because this, since we already know that the impeachment is not, and even if it weren't about Trump mounting an adequate defense to whatever charge they might levy against him, we do know that there's no way he's going to be removed by a Republican-controlled Senate, right? That's something we've all talked about openly, and the position of pro-impeachment people like us has always been, it doesn't matter whether he's going to be removed or how it's going to affect your election chances. What matters is that you're required to do it under the terms of your oath of office, and you have to uphold the rule of law, or else you're just as bad as the people across the aisle who refuse to uphold the rule of law, right? And you're just supposed to do it because the law requires that you do it. That's what we've all been saying. But we do know, no matter how pro-impeachment we are, we do know that the Senate as currently composed and as it will remain composed between now and next year's election day, is not going to remove this president. Even if for no reason, then removing him is tantamount to giving the election to the Democrats, you know, a few weeks later. Because it's not like Pence is going to have time to mount a campaign and be competitive in running. And with the entire party tainted by impeaching the president, it'll be like Nixon in 1974 and 1976. The Democrats won both houses of Congress in 1976 as well as the presidency, you know, because of the humiliation of the Republicans during the impeachment process. And they know that will happen again. They know that their only chance of staying in power, preventing the Democrats from reversing everything, keeping control of the Supreme Court, is going to be dependent on not voting Trump out of office. So that's not going to happen. Okay, Trump's not going to be voted out of office, and the Democrats know that. So what they're doing here, again, this brings us back to Biden suddenly slipping in the polls until he's actually behind Warren right now. This is the impeachment inquiry is going to be, you know, campaigning, publicly funded campaigning, just as the Republicans were able to create publicly funded campaigning with these nonsensical Benghazi hearings that they ran in 2015 and 2016. They knew they weren't going to find something that they could get a criminal conviction against Hillary Clinton for, but they also knew that as an, you know, as an investigatory committee, that they could spend any amount of public money they wanted, and that since they were, you know, a congressional committee, that the media would have to cover you know, whatever they were announcing about the progress they were making in the, and that they were going to all be on TV for free all day long for, you know, for a year and a half, you know, tearing down Hillary on the public dime, even though they knew she would not be convicted of anything. And so the Democrats are now running that playbook. They've got, you know, a weak candidate. He's weak within their own party, you know, forget nationally, right? Look at what's happened to him in the polls. He's weak inside their own party. He's tainted by the exact same Ukrainian oligarchs, you know, that they were complaining about for the last 2 years. Paul Manafort, like I said, himself, it wasn't just Russians, right? Manafort was in Ukraine. You know, he's and so what they've got going for them right now is an opportunity to use public funds, right? The power of the purse and investigatory committees, because they're the majority in the House. So they just vote to do that. And it gets done, and the media is going to keep on covering it, you know, especially since so many Democrats are frothing for this impeachment to actually happen. It's going to really be on the news constantly every day between now and November of 2020, and that's really all they care about. That's really all they care about. But the problem with this philosophy is that if the longer that Biden stays in the race at this point, forget about his chances of becoming, again, same thing as ignoring that someone with criminal charges is going to have a defense attorney. When Biden, if Biden were to become the nominee, he's not going to just become president. There are going to be people running against him, and they're going to bring up his ties to Ukraine. They're going to bring up to an anti-fossil fuel liberal voting public that he has spent his entire career expanding fossil fuel production. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to Delaware, but Delaware is like refineries from top to bottom. Everyone talks about there that they're a bank, that they're a corporate tax haven, and so a lot of banks are registered there. But they're also oil refineries from north to south and east to west. The place is just covered in oil refineries. And so, you know, Joe Biden has been a friend, and this brings us right back to today, right? A few months ago, there was a big dust up for a few minutes that when Biden released his climate slash energy plan, that he apparently had cribbed some lines that weren't original to him from other sources. And oh my God, there he goes again. Joe's plagiarizing. None of them, except me, because I know that I spoke about this at a podcast he did back when it happened. None of them are talking about the sources that actually were cribbed, which were fossil fuel lobby reports. You know, that to me, I don't give a crap, you know, where his language was stole, you know, what that he stole language. I assume the whole report was written by underlings. It's not like 77-year-old Joe Biden is taking breaks from the campaign trail to go into a deep analysis of a comprehensive energy policy, right? It was done by underlings. And so, big deal, you know, The big deal is that the lines that he stole were from fossil fuel lobbying reports. And so that means the entire report is basically summaries of fossil fuel lobbying reports. Joe Biden, like Antonio Delgado in my own 19th district, Joe Biden is a global fossil fuel production lobbyist. That's what he is. And that is going to come out during the remainder of the primaries, right? Now that the other candidates are kind of irrelevant, although Tulsi Gabbard has at least made it back on to the next debate, so it's not like she's going to be silent about this. In an effort to have either Warren or Bernie come out as the winner of this primary, they're going to be talking about Joe Biden's history with the fossil fuel lobbying quite a bit. And he is, you know, between the fact that he does that, and that's what his politics are about, and worse, he has highly corrupt ties to the international gas production, fossil fuel production market, both at home and abroad, means he, as I've been saying since the beginning, he is the only person running among the Democrats right now who can't beat Trump. They're doing exactly what they did in 2016. They are finding a way to make the candidate the only person running that can't beat Trump. So, you know, and not like for spiritual reasons, for these very concrete reasons that I'm articulating to you right now. If Biden were to actually become the nominee, don't you think that the Republicans all across the country, no matter what office they're running for, are going to be talking about, you know, the influence peddling of the Ukrainian government and their gas industry, like directly into the Biden family? He's not going to be running unopposed. These issues are not going to come up. He's going to be forced to respond. And so, as even most of them themselves have been saying, all they're going to have by the time Election Day rolls around is, well, at least he's not Trump, which is really all that Hillary Clinton had left them with by the time Election Day 2016 rolled around, because she wouldn't offer even a single progressive plank, you know, to try to lasso in a few more voters that had their doubts about her. She did the classic, well, how, you know, you have to vote for me, even though you don't like my policies, because if you don't vote for me, Trump's going to become president. Well, that didn't really get the response that was needed to prevent Trump from becoming president. And it's still not going to prevent that. And added to the reasons why it's still not good enough to prevent Trump from becoming president is that in 2016, here's another thing nobody on MSNBC will tell you. Okay. This is why, you know, you have to distinguish between news analysis and partisan propaganda, masquerading as news analysis. 5 million Republicans voted for minor party candidates in 2016. Most of them voted for Gary Johnson and Bill Weld, even though they were on the libertarian line. Both of them were moderate, socially liberal Republicans when they were governors of their respective states. So 4 million voted for Johnson on the libertarian line. That's mm-hmm. how many votes he got, more than prior elections for libertarians. So obviously those votes came from somewhere, right? Those were what you call the never Trumpers. There were a lot of never Trumpers in the Republican mm-hmm. establishment in 2016. Another million divided their votes between Evan McMullen in Utah and a guy named Daryl Castle, who ran on the fundamentalist Christian line that's called the Constitution Party. And he got a bunch of votes because a lot of religious fundamentalists were too alarmed by Trump and his money and his philandering and his really non-Christian life. I mean, that was an active mm-hmm. discussion in the evangelical community. But all of that is now over. All 5 million of those votes are coming back. The Democrats are not running against 63 million vote Donald Trump. They are running against 68 million vote Donald Trump, which is more votes than Barack Obama got. And they don't even realize it, because it's been happening a little at a time as Trump has been passing all the tax breaks and corporate commercial deregulation, environmental deregulation, all the other things that were on the wish list. He's appointed anti-abortion Supreme Court judges, where the Christians now feel that his sinful lifestyle aside, he actually has provided them with an opportunity to overturn Roe versus Wade. So they're all coming back. It's not like they're going to let a Democrat win and set that back for another 40 years. Like they're looking at 40 years of their own work potentially coming to fruition right now. So they're all coming back. And for the regular Republicans, Trump has named, and by the way, was approved by Chuck Schumer and all the Democrats in the Senate, 105 judges that were on the Federalist Society wish list for nominations to the National Federal Judiciary, as well as, the people he's appointed to the Supreme Court. And they are all coming back because they don't want the next – if they get just one more Supreme Court nomination, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg has to retire or dies over the next 4 years, which it's extraordinarily likely that she will, they are not going to, stand. They have the opportunity right now, if they keep Trump as president, to get a 6-3 majority made up of people so young that they'll be able to block Democrat majorities from passing legislation, for the next 30 years. So those 5 million people, plus who knows how many, came to the polls and left the line for President blank, didn't vote for a third party candidate, or how many just stayed home. What I'm talking about is the ones that actually went out and voted. There were 5 million of them, and all 5 million of them are coming back. They're not staying out. Trump gave them more than any Republican in history in a much shorter time, and they are all coming back, and they're not talking about that on MSNBC. They're not talking about that the Democratic Party has to become more populist in order to attract more voters and overcome this return of 5 million voters. You're not hearing anything that you need to hear on MSNBC.
Okay, Steve, we've surpassed the half hour. So let's talk at another time, and I'm sure that there's plenty more we can talk about. And I'm sure there's plenty more as this whole impeachment drumbeat keeps going, right?
Yeah, and if those of us out there don't contact our own representatives in Congress and demand that the impeachment drumbeat go and incorporate the campaign finance violations, the emoluments clause violations, the business with the caging kids at the border in order to extort legislation out of the Senate, and everything else that he's done that's potentially impeachable. If this is going to be an all eggs in one basket impeachment, it's going to turn into the biggest cluster, that you've ever seen. That is an absolute guarantee. So if any of your listeners, please call your legislators, because like I said, I don't want to act like I'm not in favor of Trump being impeached. He really should have been impeached a long time ago. And we've got to get this guy out of office at the earliest possible opportunity. But the way that the Democrats are handling it at this moment is a guaranteed disaster, because all they care about is restoring Joe Biden to the top of the polls in a Democratic primary. And as long as that's their motive, they're going to produce a report that's incapable of getting next year's election won.
Well, okay, so Steve, we'll talk again. You're so enlightening. So you've been listening to Steve Greenfield. This is All Exits Closed. So if you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thanks so much, Steve. We'll talk again.
Have a great
day.
Thank
you. You too.
And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.